Hello, movie fans. I'm Lily Percy, and I'll be your guide this week as I talk to Guardian writer Hadley Freeman about the awesome 80s teen movie that changed her life, Say Anything. If you've seen the movie, you know what to expect. But if you haven't, get ready to fall in love with Lloyd Dobler. Oh, yeah! Lloyd Dobler. He is the reason why Say Anything is one of the iconic movies of the 80s. He's kind of the archetype for the dreamboat that every girl wants to date, and every girl also wants to be best friends with.
So Lloyd, what are you gonna do now?
Yeah, Lloyd. What are your plans for the future?
Spend as much time possible with Diane before she leaves.
Seriously, Lloyd.
I'm totally and completely serious.
No, really.
You mean like career? I thought about this quite a bit, sir, and I would have to say, considering what's waiting out there for me, I don't want to sell anything, buy anything, or process anything as a career. I don't want to sell anything bought or processed, or buy anything sold or processed, or process anything sold, bought, or processed, or repair anything sold, bought, or processed. You know, as a career, I don't want to do that. So what I've been doing lately is kickboxing, which is a new sport, but I think it's got a good future. I don't know, I can't figure it all out tonight, sir. I'm just going to hang with your daughter.
Lloyd Dobler is played by John Cusack in kind of one of the definitive roles that he did in the 80s. It was around the time period that he did Better Off Dead and kind of all the other nerdy guys that he was known for. Say Anything also has Lily Taylor starring as Corey, one of Lloyd's best friends and kind of the cool girl that you want to be.
Lloyd, you have to understand her family is being ripped apart, like you and she were ripped apart. Like Joe and I were ripped apart.
Visitor at the home.
I'm not going back there. I don't even know who you're talking about.
Lloyd, why do you have to be like this?
Because I'm a guy. I have pride.
Well, you're not a guy.
I am.
No. No, the world is full of guys. Be a man. Don't be a guy.
Lloyd is obsessed with Diane Court, played by Ione Skye, and she's the girl that you're jealous of. She gets the 4.0, she gets the scholarships. Nobody really knows her, and yet Lloyd somehow manages to win her heart. But the thing that really makes this movie so special and really ahead of its time is the way that it portrays women and men being friends. And you really see that in the Corey-Lloyd relationship.
I'm gonna take out Diane Court again.
Well, that's unlikely.
Is the movie's a good second date, you know? As a date?
But you never had a first date.
Yes, I did. I sat across from her in a mall. We ate together. We ate. That's eating, sharing an important physical event.
That's not even a scam.
What's a scam?
Going out as friends.
No, it's not. Scam is lusting.
Then
what's a date? A date is prearrangement with the possibility for love.
Well, then what's love?
And the thing that makes their friendship so unique, and is what writer Hadley Freeman loved so much about the movie, is that it's not about sex. It's about respect and admiration and love at the heart of it. And that's just something you didn't see in the 80s and you still don't see in movies today. So, I mean, you've written a lot about 80s movies and how they've defined and shaped you, who you are today. And you wrote about a lot of these in your book, you know, Life Moves Pretty Fast. So
yes.
I'm wondering, what lessons did you learn specifically from Say Anything, the kind that you found nowhere else?
Oh, Say Anything. Say Anything is such a special movie. You know, I rewatched it last night for literally the 10 billionth time, as my husband put it. And it's so soulful. And the thing that always strikes me with Say Anything is it's so much better than it needs to be. I mean, it really could have been just a phoned-in teen movie about some guy falling in love with the high school queen. And it's got so much richness in it. I mean, the lessons for me all come from Lily Taylor, who I just think is amazing in that movie so much as Corey. And when she says, don't be a guy. There's so many guys in the world.
Be a man.
That's like the greatest line.
And that great voice of hers, too, that raspiness that she has.
So she's so funny in that movie. And also the other great one is that boys and girls can be friends, which is a lesson you don't learn from pretty much any other teen movie in the 80s or any other teen movie made since. You know, DC and Corey are just friends with Lloyd, who's obviously John Cusack. You know, there's no kind of twist at the end where they suddenly realize they're in love with him or he should actually be in love with them and he needs to dump the pretty girl. Like, they're literally just friends and they're rooting for him. And I love that so much. I can't think of any other place where you see that, where you see a totally platonic friendship between heterosexual boys and girls, 18-year-olds. Because that was my experience when I was at co-ed boarding school, when I went to a boarding school here in England. And I was just friends with these guys. Yeah. And I love that so much. And also her. She's very good. I mean, Ione Sky, I love that she's beautiful but nerdy. I mean, that's a very unusual combination. And obviously, in my fantasy, I'm that. And that, so not, I was not as good at school as her, and I'm nowhere near as beautiful as Ione Sky. But when you're 18, you can pretend you are in some way. And the real lesson, I guess, also is just how beautiful something that's seen as quite trashy can be. So like an 80s teen movie that's seen as pretty flimsy. But that writing is better than, you know, any movie I've seen for years, to be honest. I mean, the writing is so perfect and the characterization is so great. And all of the relationships between the characters, like I love the relationship between Joan and John Cusack. I always love seeing them act together. Yeah. And in this, as the brother and sister, they are great. And her, and him with her son and all that kind of stuff is so beautifully drawn. I just think it's perfect.
Yeah!
He's back.
Hook it off the jab. Hook off the jab.
Why can't you be his uncle and not his playmate?
Jesus Christ.
What?
Get in a good mood. How hard is it just to decide to be in a good mood and then be in a good mood?
Gee, it's easy.
Look, you know, I'm really sorry that Mom and Dad made you take me here. Really. If it's such a big deal, I'll go. But remember this, you used to be fun. You used to be warped and twisted and hilarious. And I mean that in the best way. I mean it as a compliment.
That was hilarious once, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the gender roles in Say Anything. I watched it again this week, and I was thinking how struck I was that, you know, Lloyd spends the whole movie basically pining after Diane. He is completely devoted to her. He's in many ways the stereotypical woman's role in a rom-com.
I know. Yeah, it's true.
It's so kind of, I mean, it's so beyond, it's before its time when you look at the 1989, you know, the fact that he was doing this then. And I just wonder, you've written a lot about how hard it is to be a woman and watch movies and to be a female movie fan, right? And you even had this great line in your book when you say, "The truth is the only reason rom-coms are terrible these days is that Hollywood stopped giving a shit about women." Yeah. And that's what it feels like. So what is it about this movie that just transforms those gender roles?
Well, first of all, Lloyd as a character is amazing. Like the way he keeps saying things like, "I don't want to do anything. I just want to be with Diane. I'm good at it." Like, okay, how many men around today would say that?
And I think it's interesting that I think if a woman were to say that, she'd be a stalker or creepy or something just like really undesirable.
And there are elements of Lloyd. I mean, there are times when you could say that the movie does err on that side of rom-coms when what is excused as romantic behavior from a man in a rom-com is actually veering towards stalkerness. I mean, the famous scene when he's holding up the boombox underneath her window.
True.
I mean, that would kind of creep you out if some guy was underneath your window playing the music that you lost your virginity to with him. I mean, you know, it's kind of weird. But the movie rescues it from that because it rescues it from a love rom-com cliches and that, yes, Diane is the desired one and he is chasing after her, but she's not the unavailable bitch like you get in a lot of movies. She's not just like this frigid cow who's toying with him. You see exactly what's going on. Like, you see that her dad doesn't want her to be with him. You see that she's feeling very protective of her dad because he's going to prison and she doesn't really know what to do. So there is a reason that she's pulling away from Lloyd. And I love that the movie explains that. It doesn't just make her behave like the girl that Jeremy Piven, Lloyd's friend, dismisses her as being, just being like this bitch, and he should just bang someone else and get over her.
Lloyd, man, you can't even trust them, man, because you know what it's about? They spend your money and they tell their friends everything, man. It's about economics. They tell them everything,
man. All you gotta do is find a girl who looks just like her, nail her, and then dump her, man.
Dump her,
get her off your mind.
Lloyd knows we're right.
Your only mistake is that you didn't dump her first. Diane Court is a show pony. You need a stallion, my friend. Walk with us and you walk tall.
Walk tall, my man.
I got a question. You guys know so much about women. How come you're here at, like, a gas and sip on a Saturday night completely alone drinking beers? No women anywhere.
By choice, man.
That's right, man.
It's a conscious choice.
It's a choice, man.
Choosing to be here.
I want to be here.
And for Lloyd, he's not just this passive character. Like, he's doing stuff. He's there helping her. And he's doing his kickboxing, sport of the future, as he calls it. But he knows in himself, like, he is a mediocre student. She is getting a Rhodes Scholarship or whatever fake name they give it in the movie.
Yeah, I can't remember.
She's going off to Oxford. And he just wants to be with her and help her. And I mean, there aren't many 18-year-old boys who have the ego to do that.
No.
And there aren't many, you know, 38-year-old men, I can say from experience, who have the ego to do that either. So it's a really amazing movie to girls to say what they should expect from boys. They shouldn't, you know, dumb themselves out. And he likes that she's weird. He likes that she's smart. He likes that she's a bit goofy. Just clearly lusts after her like crazy. Why shouldn't he get that girl? You know, why shouldn't he get this amazing, beautiful girl who is so smart, who is very sweet and does see him for what he is? And just because she's not going to write 50 songs about him in the way Corey would, then that doesn't bother me. I don't really see that the interesting people always have to get with the interesting people.
Yeah.
I'm very good with interesting people getting with the alphas. That's fine with me.
No, with Lloyd Dobler, so I think one of the things that I've noticed, apart from being jealous, clearly, of Diane Court is, you know, that scene where at the end of their first date, when he points out the glass, the broken glass.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how often I've gone on a date and it's ended and I've gone, well, this was a failure because that didn't happen. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, he didn't act like Lloyd. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. And I swear to God, I compare, you know, 40-year-old men to Lloyd Dobler, who was 19.
I know. And also that bit when he's like bowing in the street. Ugh, I love that.
And so adorable.
It's so cute. he's so cute in it. And a lot of it is obviously John Cusack. I mean, John Cusack's been in a lot of good films, Grifters and, you know, whatever, Gross Point Blank. But this to me is just... he's like never better. And that's the thing you should never say to an actor, that their best part was 30 years ago. But he takes those lines by Cameron Crowe and just gives them everything.
Yeah.
And that's why I think really it seems that he outshines Diane. I think it's not fair for Ione Skye. How could she possibly compete with John Cusack's rhythms and what he does to those lines? You know, if Lily Taylor had played that role, it would have been a very different feeling movie.
Very true. Very true. And what ultimately we need to remember is Lloyd Dobler is fictional. We should not keep looking for him everywhere. He doesn't exist.
There's a part of me that kind of thinks he's Cameron Crowe, which I've really got to get over. But how can you not? I mean, Cameron Crowe was something like 25 when he wrote the movie. It's crazy.
It's me, cruising around. It's pretty late. I know I haven't called you lately. Because I didn't want to be reminded of the Diane nightmare. By the way, I hardly remember. I wiped it from my mind. I don't remember the time and place when I knew her. This is it. The site of our controversial first date. I met her in a mall. I should have known our relationship was doomed.
One of the things that I love about this movie is how adult it feels by comparison to the John Hughes movies of that same era. And I think that's why it's still so powerful when I watch it now, you know, at age 35. And I wonder, you know, how has this movie changed for you as you've gotten older, the more you've watched it? You know, how have you grown together?
Well, it's funny, you know, with John Hughes movies, I do still watch them, but I'm glad I watched them when I was young, because people who come to Ferris late always are like, God, Ferris Bueller's such an annoying guy. Why does anybody care about him? whereas Say Anything, I think you're right. I mean, you can watch that at any age. I still am stuck in Lloyd Dobler's point of view. Like, it's very hard for me to get beyond that. But I am now more interested in the adults in the movie, which often happens. Like, I'm interested, like, that whole bit when she talks about how she had to choose which parent to go to, I find fascinating. And Cameron Crowe obviously found it fascinating, too. I mean, he takes time to draw the father very carefully, and you get a sketch of the mother. But for me, it's just more and more appreciation of the writing.
Yeah.
I think the writing is incredible. So much. And that I didn't appreciate at the time. And now to see how soulful and careful and every line matters is something I didn't
get
before.
How deep the lines are and sensitive without being hokey. I'm always shocked by what they can carry.
I know. I love that bit when they're in the car and they've just had sex. The one hokey bit is when Ione Skye tells him to listen to the Peter Gabriel song.
Oh, I get so annoyed in that scene.
It's a really good song.
I'm like, shut the fuck up.
But I think, you know, funny, I think that John Cusack actually pays homage to it in High Fidelity, because there's that scene with Jack Black when they're like in the store and John Cusack is telling a customer, you should listen to the song by the Beta Band. It's a really good song. And I often wondered, is that actually a reference to Diane telling him, you should listen to Peter Gabriel?
I think it had to be intentional.
It kind of has to be, right? Because that's such a weird thing to do in a movie. Listen to the soundtrack. It's good. It's so funny.
Oh, I love that.
So for me, I mean, it's weird. I guess the fact that the movie hasn't changed that much is a sign of how adult it is to me. Whereas now when I look at John Hughes movies, I can see how ridiculously idealized they are. I mean, Ferris Bueller particularly, the idea that kids would skip school just to go to a museum and go to a fancy restaurant is pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
Whereas Say Anything, I'm still totally swept up in it every single time.
Lloyd is doomed.
Meaning?
Meaning that she made the second date a family audition, which is the kiss of death for Lloyd.
Why?
It's too much pressure. It's not his crowd.
What's wrong with this girl?
I told him to be himself.
But he's got that nervous talking thing. I told him not to speak.
Hey, I know this is a strange thing to say, but maybe Diane Court really likes Lloyd.
If you were Diane Court, would you honestly fall for Lloyd? Yeah.
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 In your eyes, the light, the heat,
your eyes,
I am complete.
In your eyes,
I see the doorway.
In your eyes,
a thousand churches.
Hadley Freeman is a columnist and features writer for The Guardian. Go find her book, Life Moves Pretty Fast, The Lessons We Learned from 80s Movies, and Why We Don't Learn Them from Movies Anymore. It's full of Hadley's love and knowledge of so many great 80s films, and basically makes you want to watch every single one. Next time, we're going to be talking with the lovely Dear Sugars, Steve Almond, about the movie that changed his life, Ordinary People. If you've never seen it, prepare yourself. You should probably have a box of tissues nearby because it's quite a heartbreaker. It's currently available on streaming, Amazon Video, iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, and Vudu, so you have 2 weeks to watch it. This Movie Changed Me is produced by Maya Terrell, Chris Hegel, Marie Sambalay, and Tony Lee Yu, whose name I've been mispronouncing embarrassingly this entire time, and I sincerely apologize, and is an On Being Studios production. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts. And if you had fun listening today, leave us a review because it really makes a difference. I'm Lily Percy. Now go back in time and watch an 80s movie. You won't regret it.
I look to the